Well, hello once again, everyone. Just it's good to be with you. It's good that we can all come together again to consider another amazing passage or passages in God's Word. We are considering just one main theme, really, from John, the Gospel of John, that is chapter 17. It's John 17. It's a wonderful, beautiful chapter. We know it's about Jesus praying directly to the Father, praying mostly as he always does pray, selflessly, praying about us, praying about the unity that both he and Yahweh have, and how he desperately wants us, of course, to be part of that unity. Now, for now, I'm just going to be considering, really, towards the latter part of the chapter, just some thoughts, some reflections on some of the lessons that Jesus is trying to show us. The majority of the chapter, as I said, is to do with Christ praying to the Father and demonstrating readily in his words how that we are in the Father through Christ. And this is the unity that we have. We see, I'm going to take it from verse 20. We just don't have enough time to cover the entire chapter of John 17, but I'm going to take it from verse 20 to the end. So it's verse 20 to 26 there, just as hopefully some reflections and thoughts that will bring us closer to considering what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and is still currently doing for us as a wonderful, gracious Saviour that our dear Yahweh has provided. In verse 20 of John chapter 17, it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So we see Christ is not just praying first generation here in that respect. He's praying second generation. What I mean by that is not only praying for us or the people that do currently believe in those days and now, but he's also praying for those who hear the message, that they will also believe and come to him as well. So we can see Christ is already setting up the idea of passing along the message that we have. An invigorating message and also a very addictive message, is it not? So he's looking forward even to the future for that. As he says, that all of them may be one. And then, to put it in context, and especially in a very anti-Trinitarian context, we see it says, "Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." So Christ is really donating the unity of all, is he not? And he's donating also, there's no beating around the bush here. He's basically and intrinsically saying, just as you and me are one, Father, and I'm in you, may they also who believe be in us. So we will be part of that one. That is the process we are in right now. We are becoming part of that one. To be truly have that oneness when the kingdom comes. But this is the point of why we're here today, tonight. We are considering that oneness. To become just as Christ and our Heavenly Father were one in purpose, plan, and desire, we also shall become part of that oneness. We are now, right now as we speak, becoming part of that unity, that oneness. And it says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. There, if it's not underlined enough already, Christ underlines it again. That they may be one as we are one. Not a different one, not a separate one, but we are all the one unified being. The one unified truth, the one unified family. This is what Christ wants, because this is exactly what our Heavenly Father wants. I in them, and you in me. And here we see the bridge. Here we see what Christ's life was all about. He was the wonderful bridge between the divine and between flesh. We know he's conceived divinely, but he was also part flesh, conceived through Mary. And therefore, he is our bridge, and it was him that crushing sin gave us the chance that we have right now. I in them, you in me. In other words, Christ is in us. Rather, we are in Christ, but he's also in us. We are in Christ, just as Christ is in our Heavenly Father. And this is the unity that he speaks of. I in them, Christ in us, and you in me, and the Father in Christ. So, this is the commonness. This is what we have in common with our Heavenly Father. This is why we can talk, this is why we can pray, this is why we can speak directly to him. It's because the commonness that we have, the common denominator, if you would, is our dear brother, Jesus Christ. God, Heavenly Father, is in him, comes to meet in him as we come to meet in him, and that is how we meet with our dear, beloved Heavenly Father. And he goes on, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me. This is the message, that by this unity, by the understanding of this unity and oneness of thought and purpose, the world may know. This is how we get across to the world. This is what our message is. That by the unity, the understanding we show together, that oneness of thought and process, that this is the unity that we have together. And isn't that a wonderful thing? A wonderful thing that Christ can so set out the ideas behind unity, what it means for us to be in him, and the Father to be in him, and he is the perfect meeting spot for the both. And then it goes on, one of the most important bits, I believe, in this passage, one of the most important parts of his speech. And then he says, and have loved them even as you have loved me. So I'll read that again. May that be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. So that our Yahweh, our dear Heavenly Father, he may, through Christ's propitiation, through his bridging, show some of the love to us, even as the Father has loved him. Now, I think we often get involved in the gooey parts of love and know that, you know, God is love and Jesus is love and everything should all be love and all be alright. And often I think we have a go at this and we really mock the idea because it becomes a very common thing, whether a Catholic says it or a Baptist or whoever says it. But really, it is important, the idea of this love, because it is completely attuned with what our Father wants. And the whole point of what Christ is dearly wanting for us is that love. And I think
it's essential. When it comes down to it, you know, we really need to ask the question, what does Christ want? What does Christ want for us? You know, what are we doing here? And what does he have in store for us? What does he really want for us? I mean, there's kingdoms. There's amazing events that will happen. There's praising, unbelievable praising, and wonderful elation will go on. There'll be many wonderful blessings. But intrinsically, what it comes down to, as we can see in this passage, is this is what Christ, our beloved Christ, wants for us, is he wants us also to share in the love that the Father has shown him. And I think this is a wonderful thing, really, when it comes down to it, because it really shows us that Christ is always looking out for us. We often see, oh, we must do this or we must do that. And we feel, oh, if we're not good, you know, you will get in trouble. You know, we must carry on, we must not sin. Or we've done bad, we need to be forgiven. And these are all important things, but this is not the point of what Christ's getting at. This is a means to an end. And the means to an end, Christ cannot show us our Heavenly Father's love until we're prepared to put away the humanity, the selfish parts of our nature, and put on Christ's nature so he can show the love that Yahweh has built completely through him. I think this is a wonderful lesson for us, isn't it? Then it goes on, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you've loved me before the creation of the world. So Christ here recognizes the glory he has shown. But he also directly points to the fact that it is not his glory, but the glory you have given him. To see the power of his word, the power of your word, rather, in his actions and his everyday deeds. The wonder of the miracles by the word that he preached, showing the word that he preached from you that was true, effective, and ordained from above. And truly, this glorified our Heavenly Father. And this glory, as he says, is given me, our dear Christ, because you loved me before the creation of the world. And not only this, through this exact same love, my dear friends, God, through our brother, our dear friend and sacrifice, Christ, shows us that same love. That the love that was also meant for Christ, the love that was given him from the foundations, before the creation of the world even occurred, that love Christ was willing to bestow upon us, willingly giving his life in an example of that love to show us the real love of our Heavenly Father. And I think this is a wonderful lesson and a wonderful hope that Christ, above and beyond all things, through his whole life, wished the most for us. More than anything else, he wanted to show us and involve us in the pure, beautiful love that the Father has shown and is showing him right now. And it goes on, it says, Righteous Father, through the world does not know you, I know you. And they that know you have sent me. I'll read it again. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they that know that you have sent me. So we cannot know the Father, our dear Heavenly Father, unless we know that Christ was sent by him. And this would be the only true way of knowing our Heavenly Father. In the descending of our Saviour was indeed the greatest act of love. Not only Christ could give us through his actions, but that our Heavenly Father could show as a Saviour who needed to be sacrificed for our continual sinning. He goes on, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. This is Christ saying, I've made you known, made our Heavenly Father known to us. And he certainly has. And will continue to make you known, continue to make our Heavenly Father known to us, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. So here we go again, that Yahweh's wonderful love, the whole point of his being, can be in us, and that Christ himself may be in us by that love. So I think we'll probably leave it there for today, tonight. But I think it's brought out some interesting lessons for us, hasn't it? In the aspect of the bridging that Christ is. In the fact that all he wants is to share just some of that love. We can share in some of that love that our Heavenly Father shows us through him. That is what he wants. But he knows that it's a pure love. He knows that it's a love that needs to leave self behind, because that is all God has ever done for us. And that is all Christ has ever done for us. And so in order to put on an understanding of this love, we must leave self behind. And in doing so, we become part of the glory of our Heavenly Father. We become in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we know that our Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, is also in Christ, as Christ is in him. So therefore, if we are in Christ, in thought and in deed, and our desire is to be in him, as selfless as he was, then how can we not share in this eternal love, this gracious love, that indeed is in the emblems right now? It is a symbol of our dear Heavenly Father's love. So hopefully we've gained some lessons tonight, and we can consider these emblems and surely see the glory of our Heavenly Father twinkling in them, and the love that he continually shows through our dear beloved Christ, and how we yearn to live in him forever and ever. Amen.